Anthony, you packaging up some mail there?
For the purposes of this bit, yes, I am. Let's say that I'm packaging up some mail to send to our patrons at the secret mail level.
Wow, and in this magical fantasy world where you're actually doing that, that mail is super cool and awesome, right?
Yeah, and even in the real world where we actually do it once a month, if you become a patron at the secret mail level, we send you a package every month that is full of interesting things. Previously, we've sent zines, we've sent pins, we've sent art prints, and we have something really amazing coming up this next month. That's patreon.com/wehaveconcerns. Cut it off and only let the wealthy and brilliant see it. That's what I say. That's how art should work. This is We Have Concerns. Hi, Jeff Cannata.
Hi, Anthony Carboni.
Hello, concerned citizens.
Want to tell you about a trendsetter, a trailblazer, a man with vision, Anthony.
Jeff, stop. I'm right here.
Not you. A different trendsetter, trailblazer, man with vision.
Yeah.
I want to tell you about a man known as William Blatz.
He was known as William Blatz, but what was his name?
His name was also William Blatz.
Okay.
Strangely, that's also what he was known as.
That's weird. Okay.
Yeah.
His friends, not the most creative.
No. William Blatz.
One day he was just sitting at dinner. He was like, give me a nickname. And they're all like, William Blatz.
He's like, oh man, that's so me.
Oh
that
man.
Fits.
That really fits.
It really gets all of who I am.
Guys, do you ever think we're the most boring people? No, I don't think about things like that.
I don't think about things, William Blatz. I love it.
What does William Blatz do? Why is he a trailblazer?
Well, he went on to write a really fascinating book about these quintuplets. But that's not what we're interested in today. No. We got an article sent to us by our buddy, Mark Nuffer. He's good. He sends in really interesting stories. This is an interesting take on William Blatz.
There are more H's in his name than you'd think there would be, by which I mean one.
Yeah, it is more than you think, though. This is the early days of William Blatz. This is when he was a grad student at the University of Chicago in the early 1920s. And he had...
And he would go to class with a Tommy gun.
No, I don't... That's not how all... I know that's Chicago
fedora,
in the 1920s.
Pinstripes.
I know you think that's how Chicago in the 1920s was in
and
every
facet. They were all chomping on cigars at the University of Chicago making moonshine.
I mean, maybe, but I don't think that's not exactly what he was. Remember how
it's the
boring.
Jazz age, baby.
Yeah. So
flappers.
He wanted to do some experiments about fear. So you think that actually the Tommy gun would work. No, he wanted to be
everybody
more...
in Chicago was desensitized to that.
Right. You can't have
it was
fear
like,
anymore.
It was all Tommy guns all the time.
Yeah, you walk down the street, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7 Tommy guns all the time.
Everybody did an Edward G. Robinson voice.
Yeah.
Like literally everyone.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah, see, welcome.
Yeah. I'm in 1920, see?
Yeah, me too. I'm also in the 1920s.
Yeah.
Here we are in Chicago, see?
Oh, nice Tommy gun, see?
Thanks. I'm about to spray it onto this crowd. Hey. Don't spray that Tommy gun at us.
Hey, no, I'll use my Tommy gun on you, see?
Wait, did I say that? Did you say that?
Who are you? What am I? That's how the 1920s in Chicago was. It's a very confusing time.
Sexually.
William Blatz decided he was going to conduct an experiment to quantify fear. And the way he did that was he played himself a little prankety prank on people.
Where he released a gas, a toxin into the city of Chicago.
He wore a
that
a
made everybody fear.
Burlap sack over his head, and he drew a scarecrow face on it.
And when he took it off, you were like, "He's good looking, but is he good looking? He's very good looking, but is he? It's a little weird."
And it would have worked, except everyone knew him as William Blatz.
What was his experiment? What did he do?
He invented a chair and actually patented it. This article has a diagram of his patent, a trick chair that would collapse at the press of a button, a remote button that he controlled alone. He, William Blatz, the controller of the button, would collapse the chair as a person was sitting in it. It would feel as if the chair was breaking apart and falling to the ground, but it actually landed on a cushion and everybody was safe, but for a split second.
So wait. So he didn't invent some chair that felt like it was collapsing. He just had a button that would collapse a chair, and he had the foresight to put a pillow underneath it.
Yeah, I guess that's, you know, if you want to be minimalist about it.
Because what he really did was he made a chair that breaks at the push of a button.
Yeah, yeah, breakaway chair.
It's the cushion that really changes it. Yeah, okay. Making sure I'm wrapping my head around this. So guy seems like a dick.
So what he did, oh, this is even more dick. Wait, you haven't even gotten to the dick yet. Anyway, so he brought in unsuspecting participants. He told them that he was doing an experiment all about relaxation. And he emphasized that they needed to be relaxed. He was going to attach electrodes to them to read their heart rates to make sure they were relaxed. He put them in the chair and he blindfolded them and restrained them. So he tied their arms and legs to the chair. And he said it was very important because any movement would break the relaxation.
I immediately find this suspect. I think anybody who sat in that chair would find it a little sus. You can't sit down in a chair and be like, hey, listen, man, this is all about relaxation. We just want you to have a little you time.
Oh, sure.
I'm just going to shackle your legs together. But that's just for relaxation purposes.
Generally, I don't get relaxed when I'm shackled.
We just want your legs to just stay where they are in a nice relaxed position.
No, that's kind of an awkward. Awkward with the ankle.
I'm just
going to
put
right there.
Muzzle over your face. And that's just for you.
It's not really relaxing to be muscle right now.
No, it's fine. It's because you're not going to need to use your jaw to call for help or anything.
Do you have to put my arms behind my back? Because behind is not really the best position.
I want it to be just like a little painful.
That's the opposite of relaxing.
No, just a little painful so you know you can feel how much you're relaxing.
Why you got rubber bands?
Who sat in this chair and allowed themselves to be tied like
quite
this?
Quite a number of people. He told them that all random movements needed to be eliminated, and he attached electrodes to their arm to measure heart rate and electrical conductivity of the skin. And
I'm just
going
to sit you in this relaxing electric chair and bind you.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then, no, this is the genius part, Anthony. This is the genius part. I mean, there's been several genius parts already.
Really?
Inventing a chair that breaks and has a pillow under it.
Uh-huh.
Genius.
Yeah. Telling people to relax while imprisoning them, and then they'll never know what's going to happen.
Classic Blatts. This is the genius of all genius, though. He then had them sit through 3 15-minute sessions spread over a few days where nothing happened.
Ooh, no.
Nothing went wrong.
No, I get more intense every time I come in.
It's all fine.
He's just like, nah, remember how yesterday was fine? Sit down. It's going to be fine
again.
Here we go. I immediately go, no way. No way. Something's going to happen. I'm going to come in one day.
Fool me 14 times in a row.
Yeah. He would have to have me in. I wonder what it would take for me to actually relax. I would say it wouldn't be 3 sessions. I would say it would be something like 11 sessions.
Before you were ever relaxed?
I would have to come in 11 times and be tied to the chair by this guy before I really felt like nothing was going to happen. And then if I sensed any difference in that 11th time, I would double freak out.
Mr. Carbomi, you are back again. I really don't have time for another session in chair. I know you have not been relaxed yet, but I feel you're not...
Look, if you don't have time for another session, I can go. That's fine. I don't need to be here.
Can you just relax one?
I'm relaxed, dude.
You've been here all week.
You're freaking out.
I really should not have picked you. I don't know why you had that
accent. That's what literally everyone in my life says.
So, 3 sessions.
Yeah.
You'll be nothing. Fine. We're relaxing. We're checking out.
The session
out.
Of Christmas
you.
Present.
Exactly.
The session of Christmas past.
You will be visited by 3 relaxation sessions.
Yeah.
Of which time you will be shackled like the first ghost is shackled. It's all.
Mm-hmm.
It all makes sense. And then the 4th session, bingo, bango, couple of minutes in, wham, he pushes the button.
The old collapsing chair trick.
People shit themselves with terror.
How many people shit themselves with terror?
I was embellishing a little bit the story. They don't talk about any of the shitty, but you know that somebody shit themselves.
So the chair just collapses. You fall onto a pillow.
Yeah.
What is William Blatts, quote, William Blatts, unquote, Blatts, get out of this?
Here's his direct quote. The observations of the subjects after the fall, of course, varied, but they were sufficiently in agreement to indicate the arousal of genuine fear in naive subjects. Some examples of these remarks were startled, surprised, frightened, scared, etc. In most cases, the subjects cried out, and some called the experimenter by name. They all made some effort to escape, thinking an accident had happened. In all cases, they acknowledged that they had not anticipated anything like it at all.
No shit!
From these statements, it was concluded that the stimulus was wholly unexpected and unsuspected. What's the difference between unexpected and unsuspected?
I don't know. I think one comes from the ghost of Christmas past, and then one is the ghost of Christmas present. Yeah, of course.
So he did it. He did it. Published. Boom. Did it. Scared some folks.
The other
results
said that William Blatz is like,
did not see it coming. Never saw it coming. I totally got these guys. Score one for the Blatz. Got them all. All of them said,
sure.
Scary. Good one. Good one, William Blatz.
10 out of 10 people that I tripped by surprise said that I tripped them by surprise. It was crazy. Yeah. And then when I asked them, how did you feel about being tripped by surprise? They were like, initially scared and then really pissed at you. So I'm going to publish those results. And I'm a dick quarterly. What?
You know what's fucked up about?
What did William Blatz actually get out of this?
You know what's fucked up about I'm a dick quarterly?
What?
Is it comes out every month.
Yeah.
And people are like, I'm still getting these. Why are there more of these?
I said cancel. I said unsubscribe. I never even subscribed.
Yeah. And I'm getting
on the back of this magazine, it specifically says, do not recycle this magazine.
I get a bill for 12 issues?
I put it in the recycling bin anyway.
I don't even want 12 issues.
And the sanitation guys just leave it on the sidewalk because they say they can't recycle it if it has that notice on it.
What a
fuck
dick.
Fuck this magazine. So what, William Blatz?
The electrodes registered the effects of fright. Hearts
of the subjects
began hammering. Their breathing rapidly increased.
No shit. So what?
They scared them real good. Blatz.
Okay, they got Blatz. I'll agree that they got Blatz.
Total Blatz.
What did we get from it scientifically?
Okay. Yeah, here's the interesting part.
Because so far, I'm like, what is
the
point?
He did a follow-up. So the same people who had been blatzed.
Yeah.
So they knew not to trust anymore, right? They knew that something fishy was up with the chair.
Don't trust the Blatz, they said.
William Blatz, also known as William Blatz.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he realized he can't surprise him anymore. He brought him, and he sat him down in the chair, same subjects, and he said, this time, there's definitely going to be a fall. You're definitely, at some point, I'm going to push
the
button.
Who came back? Who's the guy that came back?
All of them.
He was like, my experiment was literally to be a dick to you. Will you come back next week? Yeah, of course I'll come back.
I mean, you're an asshole, but how much am I getting for this?
Economically, the country's in a bad place right now, just historically.
Yeah, I can't afford a Tommy gun on this salary.
I had to sell my child's favorite Tommy gun. Just to eat.
Yeah.
Just to get bullets for my second favorite child's second favorite Tommy gun.
And some moonshine. So, second time around.
But you know what the miracle was? The holiday miracle.
What?
That year was...
They learned the spirit.
They only had enough... They only had one potato, and it made enough moonshine for 8 days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And the littlest boy said, God shoot us, everyone.
But he said it like, God shoot us.
Yeah, see?
No, who came... Like, I would
some
not
people
come
came
back.
So he said, expect a fall. It's going to happen. I'm definitely pushing the button at some point.
Expect a fall because of your hubris is what he said to
Pride
all of them.
Cometh before, he said.
Yeah, that's what he said.
So they knew.
And they said to him, you'll never get me again. I'm too smart for you.
He said, let me just restrain you in this chair.
Very well then, William Blatz. But I want you to know I'm watching you this time.
Yeah, but you're literally restrained in the chair again.
That's right.
Okay. So watch me. I'm going to push the button at some point.
Yeah, you do that, William Blatz.
And you're going to... Here we go.
Yeah, okay.
You're totally at my mercy.
Yeah,
you know that, right?
Okay. Well, I'm William Blatz.
I mean, that's
what you sound like.
Okay. Button.
Ah!
Yeah. So that's what happened. So they knew to expect the fall. And although they didn't report the same level of shock with subsequent sittings, he found that their heart rates increased and their breathing quickened in the same rate. So he knew they were fucking lying. He still got them. He got them again. Blatz.
So what this is basically saying is, even if you know that something terrifying is coming or something that's physically surprising is coming.
Yeah.
You are going to be physically surprised by it anyway.
Your body will react the way it reacts.
It's like that thing where, well, this is a cool game that sometimes kids play. I'm going to punch you. I'm letting you know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Right?
Here
don't
it comes.
Flinch.
Right. Don't flinch.
Don't flinch. You'll get two for flinching.
Right. Flinching is worse.
Flinching makes it worse.
Blatz but is really the scientific flinching thing.
Blatz is just a 7-year-old who's really big for his age.
Yeah.
And really mean.
And has access to some grant funding.
But this is applicable to so many things. This is
breakaway stools,
like breakaway tables,
like couches.
You go to the doctor, you know you're going to get a shot.
Right.
The shot still freaks you out.
Right. Right?
You're in line for a roller coaster.
Well, it's why roller coasters work. Right, a roller coaster wouldn't work.
Well, I think that has a lot to do with like gravity and physics and centripetal force and stuff like that.
No, but I mean, you know, like the what's the like
oh, you
Tower
mean the
of
fear.
Terror?
You mean the fear of
like
it.
Tower of Terror, yeah. Or the Edge, or those ones where it just does a drop. You're literally going up in the thing, knowing a drop is coming.
Yeah,
here comes a drop,
and that
don't
makes
know when
it
exactly.
Worse.
Yeah, it makes it more intense and crazy. But it's not like you ride that once and you go, well, now I can't. Can't feel that fun
anymore.
Oh, no,
the second time I ride any roller coaster, I'm just, like, falling asleep.
I'm just like, yawn.
Oh, here's the part where we go on a loop and we go upside down, and then here's the part where we go so fast, I feel like I'm plastered.
Yeah.
Like, I know it. Like, it there's no replay value for
there's
roller
There's no
coasters.
Replay for roller coasters?
Yeah, no, because I know what's going to happen.
That's why they say one roller coaster per person.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's why they got to tear them down every year.
Every year.
And rebuild them.
Replace them with new ones. No, I think this is cool. And I think, he was ahead of his time.
I don't know if he was ahead of his time.
I mean, he was right directly in his time.
Yeah.
It's pretty much the time that you would think of this, I guess.
This is one of those studies where I'm like, I'm glad that somebody quantified it, but like,
Yeah.
This is one of those studies, I think, maybe.
I think there's some interesting backstory on Blast that we're not getting, because he ended up becoming
a child
psychologist.
Can you tell me about Chekhov's quintuplets that you left lying in the front of the scene?
He became a well-known child psychologist, and he authored a very well-respected, well-known book about the Dione quintuplets, who are famous quintuplets, I guess?
Yeah. They sang, do you know the way to San Jose?
I think you're thinking of Dionne Warwick.
No, that's the guy who plays the Ewok.
Oh, no, I think you're thinking of Warwick Davis.
No, I think that's the guy who like had the squinty eye and sang with Frank Sinatra.
No, I think you're thinking of Sammy Davis Jr.
Agree to disagree. So, okay, it sounds like the really interesting thing about this guy is the epilogue that we're not going to get to.
That's not covered in this article. Cool. He wrote a very well-respected book about quintuplets that seems to be really his legacy.
Dope. So check out your local library, everybody, and forget that you listened to this episode that basically says, two for flinching works. That's what we learned. Thanks for giving us 20 minutes of your time. Be sure to leave a review on iTunes.
His later career is very noteworthy and interesting.
But oh, it's good.
We should go into
it off mic.
Not covered here at all.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Anyway, give us 5 stars on iTunes when you go there for getting to the good stuff.